If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the show. Jake, play the clip I just sent you of Coach Cal, who had a rough night last night. And you think Kansas fans are mad this week, Nate? You should see some of the message board comments and tweets that Kentucky fans were generating last night after Kentucky loses to Oakland. And so listen to this. This is Coach Calipari in the locker room when he was asked about what went wrong for Kentucky against Oakland. Why did they lose to Oakland last night?
But, you know, we had some guys that didn't play the way they'd been playing all year. We did everything we could. We knew the zone would be tough, but we miss shots we don't miss. And, you know, the preparation, I thought they were in a great, trying to keep them loose. But when the game started, you had some guys not play to the level they could play.
And so some people accusing him of throwing his team under the bus. Didn't hear anything, any criticism of the coaching there, but I don't know. What do you think, Stan, of those comments?
Yeah, I know Kentucky basketball is a whole different monster about how they, when he gets up to the podium, what he says, he knows every word's being listened to, but his style sometimes is almost, I don't know, abrasive is not the right word, but it's kind of in your face.
Blunt.
And I don't.
He's very blunt.
I don't track how that rolls day after day because it's 365 days that they're tracking Coach Cal and Kentucky basketball, right? So I don't know how that plays in, but just hearing that snippet that you just played, or I saw it live when he was being interviewed, I was going, oh, wow, okay. I mean, it's either really factual or it's making the play. Oh, what could I do? The players went out there and didn't make their shots, and I can't throw it and catch it, right? That kind of comment. Rather, so I don't know how you can win. I mean, it's just such a punch in the mouth to get beat by Oakland, not the Raiders.
Matt Norlander tweeted out, there's a very real chance John Calipari has coached his last game at Kentucky. But then Pete Dammel tweeted out, as for those ready for Kentucky to fire Coach Cal, his contract calls for him to be owed 75% of the value remaining on his deal. So that would be basically a $33 million buyout.
Whoa.
That's a lot.
Yes. Yes, it is.
But it doesn't count against the salary cap, so they can do it if they want.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Would they bring back Rick Pitino?
No. I mean,
I think he's going to get things up and running in St. John's. There's been the Rutgers big man, their star big man. I saw someone tweet out because he entered the transfer portal. So, Stan, here we go with social media. There's an account by a guy named Trilly Donovan. Okay,
there you go.
College basketball writers have been speculating over the past couple of years who this guy is. He's either an assistant coach, or he's a former coach, but he tweets, it's a burner account, he tweets out information that comes true. Like this, hey, keep your eyes on this coach for this job, or this player is going to leave. And go. It's too much inside information for him not to be someone important or that has access to this, right? And when the big man from Rutgers entered the transfer portal, like 2 days ago, he retweeted and says, let's see if he goes to the team that lured him into the transfer portal. And so that's someone followed up who, and he was put St. John. So insinuating that Patino's, with the Rutgers big guy, lured him into the transfer portal. And
they ran into each other in New York City.
Yeah,
just walking
just
down the street.
Right? Well,
it's funny that handled, like, it's entertaining to read what's going on with the Kentucky fans, and it's like,
dude,
they are pining for Billy Donovan.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a former assistant at Kentucky under Pitino. A
couple of national championships at Florida.
And he's with he's the last person
that
to go
seems,
back
it still seems pretty crazy, right? Well, Florida won two in a row.
Back-to-back, 2007-2008. But he's with the Chicago Bulls right now, and, I mean, you're going to Look, NBA coaching is ridiculous, and guys lose their job left and right. But you don't leave an NBA job to come back to college in this climate?
I don't know.
Yeah, coaching in college isn't the same as it used to be.
By the way, the schedule's already been set for the second round matchups on Saturday, 11:45 a.m., Dayton in Arizona, 2:15 on CBS and Sports Radio 810 WHB, Gonzaga against Kansas. Gonzaga favored by 4 over Kansas in the 5-4 matchup. Then at 4:30, it's Michigan State, North Carolina. At 5:10, it's Washington State against Iowa State. We didn't get the Drake and Iowa State matchup. 6:10, Oakland against North Carolina State. One of those teams, a double-digit seed, guaranteed to be in the Sweet 16. And then at 7 o'clock, oh boy, Texas against Rick Barnes in Tennessee. 7:40, it's Duquesne and their win. Their great win over BYU. They'll take on Illinois. And then the final game at 8:40, Oregon takes on Creighton. So we had a couple of six seeds in the Big 12 lose. Texas Tech lost and BYU lost. What did you think of those two losses by six seeds coming out of the Big 12?
BYU is disappointing, falling behind the way they did and then trying to fight back. They did a good job of that, but I thought BYU would be a better team than that. Texas Tech ran into a buzzsaw. I mean, you got to give NC State a ton of credit. They won 5 straight games.
No kidding.
In 5 days, and they beat North Carolina. You know, North Carolina is a number one seed. North Carolina is a rival, and they're all worn out and playing an ACC championship game. And the ACC, you know, we may not know about the tradition here, but winning the tournament in the ACC was one of the total highlights of college basketball for 30 or 40 years. So there's still that appreciation around there, and NC State still beat North Carolina, and we're the better team all day. And they have such a unique inside guy. I mean, is he going to be playing a gig next to Chris Jones for the Chiefs in a couple years?
He looks like a giant. Looks like he'd be a hell of a left tackle. He's got some moves, though.
So I thought it was more about NC State. I don't think it was about Texas Tech playing poorly. I think they just got a bad matchup against a team that's playing out of their mind with confidence, reminding me of Jim Valvano. Remember when they went and won a national championship with NC State back in the day? I remember watching their games, and they didn't beat teams by 20 every game. They just barely won, and they just kept the momentum going. And this team has some kind of magic. So I felt bad for Texas Tech. I was like, whoever's playing these guys are going to lose today, because I thought NC State just did everything right. Offensive rebound, big guy scores. He's unstoppable. They made good defensive plays. But BYU, I thought, was a disappointment. I thought they would be a better team. And they have so many answers. They could do so many things. But they were in trouble early in the game, and it cost them.
They made a good, nice comeback, but it was just they dug themselves too big of a hole. Iowa State looked good. They took care of business.
Yes. But I saw a lot of parity in college basketball. Not so much that there were giant upsets, but as you watch the games, you just didn't see that much difference between the teams that are elite and the teams that aren't. There were a few. McNeese looked really small, running around, athletic, did not look like they were ready for the big stage. Samford didn't have their names on the back of their jersey. I mean, you know, they didn't look necessarily like they were in the same league as Kansas. They made a run at the end, obviously, but, you know, there's a few teams like that. But generally, you start watching these games, and if you took the names off the front of the jerseys and just had two teams with practice uniforms on, you just say, okay, this is a good game. Let's watch. Good competitiveness.
So every year it seems like we have fun as I get irritated watching players that transferred from Mizzou succeed in the NCAA tournament. I'll listen to Nate over there. Jerk. You guys remember Muhammad Jara, the big man who was with Mizzou last year? He only played like 11 minutes a game, but then he
transferred. But that was an NCAA tournament.
Yeah, right. But I guess they couldn't. I don't know why he left. Whatever. But he now plays for, you guessed it, North Carolina State. And he's been He's been a nice part of this run. Last night in the win against Texas Tech, 17 points, 12 rebounds in 39 minutes.
Yep. That might have helped win an SEC game. North Carolina State's just playing so well. It's not just one guy or two guys. It just seems like the support people just come in and, whoa, look at that hustle play. Look at that three-point shot. Oh, that's a block shot. I mean, I don't know how long they can sustain it, but they look. It seems like North Carolina State has six guys on the court to me. Running around and getting offensive rebounds and all the loose balls, and when the ball bounces around, it ends up in their hands. And so I thought Texas Tech just got unlucky in who they played.
He's 6'10", 215, incredible athlete. Seems like it. I don't know. I want to hold on to a guy like that. But
hard to find guys like that.
Well,
just wait till next year. They'll transfer around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's already. It's already.
I thought one of the funny lines is when they talked about their signing class, the statement was, oh, here's the guys who will transfer from your university next year.
Yeah. All right.
You don't know. You have no idea what your roster. It goes back to what we were saying. The internal things that are going on are just amazing. You know, the relationships with different people, who likes who, and, you know, what their girlfriend situation. It's just all kinds of stuff is going on. So you can't ever – and now with the transfer portal, it's not just the players who want to leave. It is not just free agency. It is also allowing coaches to just push the player right out on to – the transfer portal.
And see, that's
no coach gets in trouble for running anybody off anymore. You used to have to be very careful about running a kid out of your program that you don't believe in anymore, right? You did it, but, man, you had to be very careful how you do it. Now all you do is just walk into that kid and say, you know what, you're not going to play here anymore. You might just enter the transfer portal, and then the kid's going to do exactly what. We could write every tweet. We just want to thank the university and the fans for allowing me to have the opportunity here. I love it, but I am going to look for another opportunity.
Someone said it's with that being said season, because with that being said, I'm now in the transfer portal. So speaking of that.
Old State U will always have a special place in my heart.
Exactly. Going back to what we talked about, you don't know what's really going on. You don't know if the player's leaving. You don't know if the coach is.
No, I'm absolutely. You just don't know.
So, yesterday we find out Cam Carter, K-State, 14.6 points, 5 rebounds, 2.6 assists per game, enters the transfer portal. I guess it's silly to say, does that surprise you? Because nothing should surprise anyone with a transfer portal. But what was your reaction to that?
Well, you said it well. I'm not surprised by anything because this is wide open season, okay? But if you said, being around the basketball program, and when I go on the road, I am around them for 36 straight hours, eat every meal with them, and around when they're practicing and meeting and all those kind of things, if there was any hint that Cam Carter was not going to be a K-State Wildcat next basketball season, any hint, any body language, right? That was one of the things we talked about today or heard about. No, I would have never. The fact that you said it doesn't surprise me because my mind is open to anything can happen. But is there any hint that Cam Carter wouldn't be a K-State Wildcat when I saw him multiple times before, during, and after the game that they had on the road at Iowa? No! No! There's no inside information where I go, oh, yeah, you know, I can kind of tell that the way he's looking, he's ready to get out of here. Can't wait to put his name in the transfer portal. Zero. Zero hint of that.
You know, one of the things that I think about when it comes to, like, we've spent a lot of time talking about how new coaches, like, expectations are different now. You take over a program, doesn't matter if the program went 10 and 18 the year before, or whatever, or, you know,
10 and 22 because you play 32 games now.
There you go. Thank you. So, you know, whatever your record, like you can take over a terrible team, and the expectations are you can turn things around right away because you can hit the transfer portal, and that's all true. We talk about how the kids can be sometimes it can be a disservice, not always, But sometimes for kids, if they always are thinking the grass is greener and they transfer every year and they never get a chance to develop anywhere and develop any consistency, and maybe that can hold them back. I wonder if it doesn't also harm the coaches. This is a weird analogy, but yeah, I mean, like when I coached my son's rec basketball team, those were the kids that you had. It's a rec team. We're not taking tryouts. We're not cutting anybody off the team or anything. You have to coach these kids. You have to get them better. And, you know, it kind of changes your perspective to me when it's like, well, I got a kid that I'm having a tough time getting through to, or a kid that's just not figuring things out. Well, I got to find a way. I got to keep thinking about how I can connect with him until I can make it work. Whereas now, for the coaches, it's like, yeah, this kid didn't what we thought he was. Let's get him out of here. Let's get somebody else in. You know, and so even for the coaches, I wonder if it, the easier road is not always the better road sometimes, and do they run kids off that in a year or two are going to end up being really good players that they could just stick with them? But hey, man, there's a recruit over there. There's a transfer that's already a 20-point-a-game guy. Let me go bring him in. And I don't know if that makes any sense, Dan, but I wonder, like, we talk about how it affects the kids, but I wonder maybe how it affects the coaches as well and their approach to coaching.
Well, I think you're absolutely accurate. One of the great things that happens, if you go back to the old days, you know, let's go back 25 years ago or something like that. Because, by the way, people have transferred forever.
Right.
Okay, just I want to point that out. This is not new. They used to have to sit out a year, though, okay? And the teams had a little bit more trouble pushing them out the door than they do now. It was an open season for the coaches. But one of the things that helped that you're speaking of, Nate, without a doubt, the give and take is that a player didn't know any better than to fight through the adversity that they had on campus or with an assistant coach or the head coach or playing time or whatever. And it's probably a great lesson for them to develop. But the knowledge they have and the comfort that they feel being a sophomore than a junior, you know, living in the same area of the country and having support system and mentors all over the campus, you know what I'm saying? It made them better in the end because they were stuck. In a sense, they weren't thinking about transferring. But it's just as equal on the other side with the coaches who, after their freshman year, are going, this kid is not developing like I thought he would. He's not handling these things in a mature way. Well, you know what? They just moved away from their parents for the first time. And they're on their own. And they're going to struggle. But because, like your team you're talking about, Nate, if you just know this is what we're going to have to live with, basically, these are the guys we're going to have to give a chance to as their sophomore year. A lot of times, you do just keep pushing the buttons and saying, somewhere in there is the player that I recruited, and they may pop just with maturity. I mean, how many people do you know in non-sports times say, yeah, when I finally found a major that I believed in and, you know, my junior year, I really took to college very well. But my first 2 years, whoa, you know,
yeah. What
a crazy world that was, okay? Isn't that just normal for college students?
Yep.
So I agree with you completely. Right now, it's too easy for coaches to go, I don't project that this kid's going to go where we need. And there's a transfer over here that we can bring in. And guess what? I would say there's such a balance in life. It's all 51-49. So the one that you know has issues and you give up on and you bring in the other one, don't you think they have issues also?
Right.
I mean, they're transferring.
Well, and by doing this, you're building relationships.
It's well said.
Yeah. I mean, I just
trust.
All I can do is go from my experience, and my experience through college with my coach. Like we have a great relationship still. But I mean, he had to have a lot of patience with me because I was a pain in the butt. I mean, I was, and you know, I imagine if things were like that, he could have just because there were very few guys on our team that were, you know, we had 13 scholarships. For 20 players, and I was getting a full scholarship. Most of those guys were getting halves or quarters, you know, and so he could have pulled the ripcord on.
Yeah, he was kind of stuck with you, which ended up working.
Right. Yeah, you know, I ended up
starting relationship
for 2.5 years. But, you know, early on, like, I was, you know, I had to make sure I was in study hall. They had to have guys making sure I was going to class. And, you know, if you don't want to deal with that, that's time and energy that, you know, but we ended up, you know.
Winning
a conference my junior year, and so it's like he invested in me, I invested in the program. You know, we ended up being successful, and so it's like you're also missing out on life experiences and building relationships with kids. And like, you know, he's still there. I was in his first recruiting class in 1998. you know, and he's still coaching there, which is unbelievable. But it's like that, like, there's a reason why he's still there.
You know, just a simple example, I think, is a coach who was coaching you and ended up having to live with whatever he had to live with through the whole time you were there, right, your whole tenure, your whole college experience. His message might have been exactly the same in year one as year four, but you finally understood the consistency of his message, and it rang differently in your ears, which allowed you to take to it better.
Yeah.
You could hear four messages in 4 years and transfer all these times and get a lot of, you know, wide spectrum of opinions about how you make yourself better. I guess that could be good. But you just look at Bill Self's teams, some of his great teams where he had guys who were freshmen who could never play for KU. And by the time they're seniors, they are dominating. I think that's not an accident, because Bill's message, Bill's expectations for what he wants done in practice, how you should handle yourself in the meeting room, when you're eating, academically, social media-wise. You know, he's telling you these things when you're younger, and it just doesn't – you don't know what he's saying. But by the time you're third year, you go, oh, I get it now. And he's been telling you this all the time. We always play a screen like this. If your guy's 6'10 or older, you always play it like this. And it just went over their head, you know, and now they're doing it and understanding why. And to me, relationships, you mentioned it well, they build on themselves when you understand what shade of gray they're talking about. Stephen and Nate, you guys have been doing this a long time. It isn't easy to host a show. And Jake, you've been here as well, but it isn't easy to have two, three people intricate to getting things done and making it work well and bringing out the best in each other. But how helpful is it that you really understand each other and you kind of understand why, where they're coming from and how you can react to it, and 1 + 1 = 3. And that doesn't happen when these kids are said, yeah, you know, and the coaches are doing it just as much as the kids, I think. In reality, the coaches are going, see you later. And I'm not talking about Cam Carter, okay? Cam Carter started at K-State last year on an Elite Eight team. He stepped his game up. I'm not talking about any K-State stuff. I'm talking about generally, when you see someone's in a transfer portal, get your coin out, flip it in the air, because that's what it is, I think, 50-50 if the coach said, see you later. And I do think it affects the teams and the players, but the coaches may be better off sometimes going, I got to work with this guy.
And also there's money to be made nowadays. So it's like, I can make more money over here. So
yeah, for the players, it obviously can do that. But I'm talking about the coaches are also saying, you know what? You probably ought to think about other opportunities. And then the tweets look exactly the same.
Yep. And the other thing is, because of this landscape, we're hearing, I mean, as a coach, you're on the hot seat a lot sooner than you used to be, I think. You know, and so the coach is going to feel this pressure that, hey, we can't have two or three bad years in a row. You know, we got to hit the portal. We got to get some guys in here. We got to turn it around now. We can't afford to just wait for these freshmen to develop.
Dennis Gates went from being wildly popular in his first year, 25 wins and an NCAA tournament victory, to winless in the conference and a very hot seat. And the AD that hired him now is the AD at Arizona.
Yeah,
that's how quick that changes. And you better believe he's out there knowing that he better put something together next year to wash that filthy taste out of everyone's mouth of going 0-19 in the SEC. Now, look, there's also great stories, right, that the transfer portal
sure
provides.
100%.
And so before we break, I sent you a couple of clips. I want to highlight this again. That game last night between Oakland and Kentucky was fantastic. And Jack Golke, 10 three-pointers, 32 points, a zero-star recruit with no Division I offers coming out of high school. He played at Division II Hillsdale College for 5 seasons. He drove Uber. He delivered DoorDash on the side to get through school. He entered the transfer portal before the season. One Division I offer, Oakland, took the offer, helped him win a Horizon League championship, got to the NCAA tournament, hit 10 threes last night in helping his team upset Kentucky, was one short of the NCAA tournament record for threes in a game, which was 11, and unbelievable. That sounds like a movie script that you wouldn't believe if you read it on paper, and it was a treatment for a movie. Here's Jack Golke after the game
talking about doing that against the elite talent of Kentucky?
Obviously, we come in, we're the underdog by all measures, but you just got to, as a player, you can't think that way. You got to go out there and you got to think that you have the same talent level as them. I know they have draft picks, and I know I'm not going to the NBA, but I know on any given night I can compete with those type of guys, and our team can compete with those type of guys. And that's why I was so confident going into it, and that's why I say we're not a Cinderella, because when we play our A game, we can be the best team on the floor.
See, like, again, if you would have seen that storyline in a movie, a Disney movie, you're thinking that's not realistic. A guy's not going to play 5 years of Division II and then get one Division I offer, go there and hit 10 threes against Kentucky in the NCAA tournament. That doesn't happen. Well, it did.
In the first time they ever get through the round of 64,
right.
Ever.
Right.
But everyone needs to understand, if you've been listening to us a long time this morning, it's not so much that you're bashing the way things go. You're just talking about the situation and the pros and cons. You know, Nick Timberlake, you know, he came from Townsend, and here he gets to be on a stage with KU, you know, making plays, and the ability to create fouls when he's trying to dunk is just amazing.
That's a skill. You can't teach it.
Tremendous. I mean,
twice in the game, he just drew fouls. It was unbelievable. Important times in the game. It's not bashing it. It's just living with the situation. And it's a challenge. It's crazy. But everyone's getting rich. I mean, the players are getting more money than they ever had before. The coaches are getting more money than they ever had before. The athletic departments are getting more money than they ever had before. The ADs are getting more money. Heck, AD free agency. Trev Alberts left Nebraska to go to Texas A&M. A guy who just signed up at Washington's new AD as they move from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. Leaves after 2 months and goes to Nebraska. So it's the good news is it's not like everyone's getting all their money stolen from them or something like that. But it's fun to talk about. It's a wild and crazy thing. And I'm just so glad everyone is so interested. I'm interested as well. Can't wait to see what happens next.
We'll be right back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So I'm going to play another clip coming out of that Kentucky-Oakland game because I'm a fan of Greg Campy, the head coach of Oakland. And I told the story. He was, when they were in the same conference as UMKC for a while, when I did color commentary for UMKC basketball, had a chance to interview him a couple times. Extremely colorful character, funny guy. Easy guy to root for.
40 years coaching at
right.
The same school.
Incredible. He's been on this show before, previewing an NCAA tournament game in the past. But as Stan mentioned, 40 years, his first year as head coach at Oakland, at the same place, was in 1984. And he helped guide Oakland from the transition from Division II basketball into Division I. And after 40 years as the head coach in Oakland, he finally gets Oakland their first NCAA tournament victory last night. So here is their coach, Greg Campy, in his 40th season last night, talking about this being his favorite win, even though they own a victory over Michigan in the past, and Oakland is in a suburb of Detroit. But here's Greg Campy about how much this win means to the program.
I did say this in the press conference. I forget who asked me that, would this be the greatest win? And I said it would be for Oakland, but not for me because of the Michigan stuff, right? I don't know if you heard that or not, but I lied. This is the greatest win that I've ever been a part of. As soon as that horn went off, I changed my mind immediately. This on prime time against the great coach, the great program and all that, and just the way we played. I'm going to say it again. We led the whole game, right? And every time they got the lead, we came right back. If we were pretenders, we would have folded. And that's what Jack meant by that Cinderella thing. We don't look at ourselves that way. We're not pretenders. We believe that we belong here. Trey Townsend physically in the second half went to work. Right? And, I mean, we shot five free throws in the first half, and they had 14, yet when the game was over, we had more free throws than they do because that's how we play, physical. And we belong. And so I agree with Jack. We don't want that Cinderella slipper. We want to be known as the you know, when we're playing on Saturday, whoever we're playing, we want the respect that, that this is a good basketball team.
And who knows, right? They're going to play NC State. NC State's on a run. NC State's only favored by 5.5, but the 14 versus the 11 early Saturday evening for the right to go to the Sweet 16. I will root for Oakland. And so today,
how about Trey Townsend?
Right,
his dad played at Oakland before.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
He's the best player in the conference, and his dad was a player playing at the same program. Is down there taking pictures,
and his mom
recruited,
but his mom was too. She played, and they kept showing his mom in the stands, and his dad was
a photographer.
Yeah, he was a photographer, but
on the baseline,
he was not. Their son was not hitting free throws the way they wanted, and there was one where he missed that free throw, the first free throw, and the dad said, "Oh." I'm thinking, can you imagine trying to, you know, use a credentialed photographer trying to do your job, and then your son just up there trying to hit free throws to seal the biggest victory in program history in the NCAA tournament.
The other thing I liked about everything, I liked monitoring the story and the coach and the gunner. I mean, it was amazing watching him shoot the ball and how aggressive he was and off balance he was, taking those shots. But at the end, I loved their locker room scene. Did you see him sitting there at the end? It's like at the end of a big table on Thanksgiving or something, and he was talking to his players. Did they just give them a half a locker room because they're Oakland or something? Did you see how close those lockers were? The guy's knees were almost hitting each other, sitting across from each other. But he was at the end of this oval and just talking to them, and they were listening. They weren't throwing water on each other and acting like that this is never going to happen again. He was just talking to them, and they were all just locked in, like, we're a good team. Here's what we need to do. I was so impressed. And his demeanor along the sidelines was always so calm and confident, and they're easy to like, right?
Right. No, absolutely. It's a great story. They advance now to take on NC State, who's red hot, and they eliminated Texas Tech last night. And so we'll see if Oakland can continue their – won't call them Cinderella – can continue their march and their run to the Sweet 16. We will take a break back after this on WHB. Don't tell me what to do, Jake. I was having a nice conversation with Stan in the commercial break, because when you were up in Iowa for the NIT matchup between K-State and Iowa, you saw a real-life celebrity superstar walk across the parking lot, didn't you?
Yes, Caitlin Clark.
I'd have ran out there and tried to get an autograph or a picture for my daughter, because my daughter loves her. You know what?
That's what's crazy is how good-intentioned people are just making her life hard.
Oh, I bet. Imagine the level of stardom she has right now in Iowa. But I wanted to ask you about this because I said this on Monday. I was actually more interested watching the women's selection show than the men's selection show to see where they were going to put Iowa and everything. And I mean, no upsets, hopefully. But Iowa and K-State could meet in the Sweet 16, and K-State has played them three times in the last year plus and beaten them twice.
I know.
And if Iowa, I was like, I was like, wait a minute.
You know, I was saying, here, why a K-State that early and LSU's in our region,
yeah, why,
too?
Don't you want us to be in the Final Four? But so K-State's hosting the game. They play Portland.
And that's a big story, because in the women's game, if you're the fourth seed or better, you get to host two games. I mean, the path, the red carpet for you getting in a Sweet 16 is completely different in a women's game than it is the men's. Because, yeah, you got to play two hard games, but you get a host with your home crowd, the comfortable bed you get to sleep in, all of those advantages. K-State was right on the bubble of were they going to be a four or a five. What a difference that the selection show that made. So K-State plays at 3:30 this afternoon
on ESPN game, News.
And then they'll play again on Sunday. And so against a Colorado team that I actually saw play this year, Colorado was in Vegas and played. K-State played USC to start the year in Vegas in the hockey arena.
Colorado beat LSU, didn't they?
Killed them.
Yeah.
And I was so surprised. Like, wow, Colorado is good. So K-State could play Colorado in the second game, and then after that, they're likely going to play Iowa. And like you said, they've already played twice this year with K-State winning against Iowa at Iowa.
I wish it wasn't in Albany, more people could get to it. But still, I mean, that will be, we'll talk about that day a lot in the next day. That would be incredible if we see that Sweet 16 matchup, because K-State has a hell of a women's program, and they should, well, we're talking about them now. They should get more credit and more attention, especially, and that'll be the fourth time. Iowa had to be pissed off when they saw that.
I know.
Like, what are you doing?
What the heck is going on?
I thought you won us in the Final Four in NCAA.
K-State, here we go. And, boy, with the ratings, you know, Caitlin Clark is carrying a ratings monster where when they played two Sundays in a row on over-the-air television, once on Fox and once on ABC, I believe, the ratings were so good that they were maybe the highest-rated game on TV that weekend. They were right there. I mean, it was a super high men's ratings type of game with Caitlin. And I believe she's playing her first game on ABC.
She's so much fun to watch, you know?
Yeah, I when we went to Iowa, I was doing a – I do a – back in Wichita where I grew up, I do a segment on Monday morning early. And I said, as we're heading to Iowa on that day to play on Tuesday, I guarantee you that there will be the guys lining up where that shot is where she broke the record. They put a mark on the court. And I went out there, and sure enough, the K-State players were bombing from out there, seeing if they could make that shot. And it's closer to half court than it was the three-point line. It was so far out there. And everyone was talking about the Iowa women when we were there for the game, K-State at Iowa, in the NIT. So it's been fun to watch her because of her shooting ability and her passing ability. But the way she gets, she steps so far back and shoots that three-point shot, it's incredible.
And you're right, ABC 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon against Holy Cross, the 1-16 matchup. They're going to have her on ABC and get some good ratings, too. So that'll be fun to watch, and hopefully we'll get that matchup between Iowa and K-State in the Sweet 16. Okay, real quick, L'Jarius Sneed. We've had dueling reports from Adam Schefter and Diana Rossini. Supposedly Tennessee was close. Supposedly the Colts were close. But the reports say that Sneed and his agent wants to be the highest paid corner in the NFL, and teams are not yet willing to do that. What do you think happens here? Because they could either be playing next year on the franchise tag, or the Chiefs make a move, get some draft picks, and then have more money to spend.
The Kansas City Chiefs organization, I think, is in a great place that it could come out in multiple ways, and it's going to be fine because they've now learned that even a guy as good as Tyreek Hill moving on is part of the NFL, and you can make good out of it. You know, if we're a perfect world, Tyreek Hill could still be playing here, but with salary cap and all those things and the options of players wanting to maximize their income and get to free agency, you got to do different things. But I think every moment that goes by, from when I started this paragraph to now, it's more likely that L'Jarius Sneed is a Chief. So I'm leaning, if you made me bet, I'm leaning like 51%.
Jake can make you bet.
They got room under the salary cap, even with a franchise tag.
Three-peat, all right.
So he is such a good player. Why wouldn't it work? Is he going to have a bad attitude? Is he going to hold out? No. He'll play. He'll play for that next, and he'll make a lot of money. So I think L'Jarius Sneed being a Kansas City Chiefs is where I am leaning, but no matter what happens, I think the Chiefs are going to be in a good position, and so is L'Jarius.
You get no complaints from me. That's Stan Weber, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Stan.
Thank you, guys.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.